Being recorded.
Okay, that worked out fine. Thanks for your patience, everybody. So welcome to our second PE 101 conference call. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory, the Kwamundun First Nation and Tonkwatin Council. Our agenda for today's call is pretty consistent with most of them. We're going to do a round of introductions and look at this week's content a little bit, and then talk about the six steps and how they work for us and what work plans and activity or lesson plans look like as well. So let's begin with our introductions, and I have something fun for you to include in your introductions, and I'll give you an example not to put Lindsay on the spot right at the beginning. So my question today is, please take a moment to introduce yourself. And then tell us about a time when you maybe forgot something in your designing delivery sort of phase. And the example can be either work or personal. So the order that we will go in is we're going to go Lindsay and then Megan, Nadine, Dana, Kelly, and Nathan. Just to give Lindsay a second to think about it, I'll give you a personal example that I have. So when my children were younger, I used to have a truck and a camper and would take them out all the time because my husband was always busy working. And usually I had a spare key just in case. But one trip we were way up the Dempster, probably 300 kilometers up the Dempster on fishing upon one of the rivers. And a daughter was like 8 and was listening to something in the truck and got out and locked the keys in the truck. And so for those of you who've driven the Dempster or know where it is, I'm sure you know that it can be pretty remote. And so it took several hours. Luckily, some guys landed in a helicopter close by and stuff. But eventually, we did get the keys. We didn't have to hitch a ride into Dawson or anything like that. But after that, I had this camping checklist, and spare key was written in big letters at the top of my camping checklist. So that's my personal example of when I actually at some point in time got to plan something and repercussions of that. So Lindsay, let's go over to you, and it can be a funny example, or if you can't come up with an example, that's okay too. So let's go Lindsay and then Megan and then over to Nadine, Dana, Kelly, and Nathan.
Okay, my name is Lindsay Agar. I work for the City of Hawaii Tourism and the Recreation Department as the Corporate Events Coordinator. I actually have a really funny story. In my younger, early 20s, my younger years, two of my friends and I decided to go camping on a mountain, decided to go for a backcountry hike and stay over. I thought that my friend had packed the poles to our tent, and she had thought that I had packed the poles to the tent in my bag. So as you can imagine, we get up to the very top, and our third friend who came with us, he had his own tent. It was a one-person tent, but it was too late for us to come back down the mountainside. So as you can imagine, three people in a one-man tent for a night is a very close proximity, and we cuddled to keep us warm. From that point on, I'm very good at remembering to check my camping gear before I pack them, and I don't rely on other people to pack my camping gear.
That's a really good message. So not only, you know, have your own checklist, but don't rely on other people to necessarily have completed the checklist without double-checking. So thanks for that, Lindsay. I'm just smiling. I can just envision three people in a one-man tent.
It was very, very tight.
I bet. Okay, over to you, Megan.
Yeah, my name is Megan Hashi. I'm from Baker Lake. I am a project coordinator with the Sport and Recreation Division with the Government of Nunavut. One time, when I was still in college, me and a group of classmates, we had to hold a fundraising event for a local organization, and we chose to do a trivia event. And so we had the questions, we had the room booked, we had everything ready to go, and then like an hour before the event started, we realized that nobody prepared the presentation slides, like, to show what the questions were and, like, show the answers, and that's a big part of what the whole event was, and similar to the last year, I think everyone just thought that somebody else was going to do it, so right before the event started, we had to quickly put together a really short, quick, easy presentation through like Google Slides or whatever it was, and just threw it together. And that caused a lot of stress. So that was not fun, but we made it work. So after that, we made sure to figure out who was doing what before we got together.
That's great. Good example, because scrambling for those things last minute is pretty stressful. And same sort of thing if technology doesn't work, right? Like you think you're going to show something from the internet and there's no internet. So thanks for sharing that, Megan. Okay, over to Nadine, Dana, and Kelly, and you guys can mix and match whatever order you want to go in.
Hi, I'm Nadine. I am a Recreation and Support Worker for Kwan Wendun First Nations in Whiteworth. And one time I was leading outdoor adventure camp here in Whitehorse, and we were on an overnight river trip, and I forgot to pack all of the cutlery for a group of home kids. And the meals consisted of, like, spaghetti, oatmeal, like things that you don't eat with your fingers. But what's great about kids is you can kind of spin it. So I was like, oh, guys, the activity for tonight is to make our own cutlery. So it worked out pretty great. They really, really liked it. But yeah, pretty embarrassing.
That's awesome. I can spin it. Spaghetti and oatmeal with like sticks that turn into chopsticks or something like that. So thanks for sharing that.
Was the best one for sure. Like for the kids trying to eat spaghetti with sticks was pretty great.
That's so funny. That's great. Thanks. Dana, how about yourself?
So I'll share one from this fall. We were lucky to go on an elder and youth hunt for moose. And so myself and my coworker Serena were, my name is Dana. I also work in Portland University. Sorry, Nadine just reminded me that I didn't introduce myself. I also work in USEC at Kwan Wendun First Nation here in Whiteforce. As part of our youth recreation, we got to go along on this moose hunt, and we were in charge of bringing and so packing and cooking all the food. And so we planned all the meals beforehand, and we cooked as much as we could here when we had a full industrial kitchen as opposed to out at camp. And we froze it all, and we're so happy that we just didn't need to do hardly any prep work when we got to camp. And then things got a little scrambly when we were making our way out there because we were kind of running late, and then we had a lot of big coolers of stuff and we couldn't fit it all in our van, and so we had to leave it for the next group of people who were coming out to camp. And so the person who was supposed to pick it up, I showed them where it was and told them what they needed to get. And then I went off to camp, leaving it in their hands. And then later that night when everyone was in camp and the last load of people came in, then I was like, well, where's our biggest cooler with all the food we need for tonight and tomorrow's lunches and suppers? And sure enough, someone had told someone else to pack the coolers in someone else's vehicle, and the biggest, most important one didn't make it. So luckily, we had some extra. I think we just did, like, we had a crate of tomato soup, and so we just served that up with some leftover spaghetti or something. I don't know. We made it work, but it was quite the scramble.
Yeah, so a really good example of how messages sort of get suited, right, and changed, and things can get missed, and important too, like the main food stuff for everybody. So thanks for sharing that. Over to you, Kelly.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I also work for Kwan Wendun, a youth recreation support worker. My example is a personal one. And it's one of those instances where you've done something so many times, but it's just that one time you forget. So we were just paddling the Tikini, and my car was the shuttle car. So we left it at the takeout. I jumped, and usually I just always put my key, like, in the gas cap or on top of the tire. You know, that's the normal places where you leave your keys. You don't bring them with you. I jumped in my friend's car, and I brought my keys with me, and I dropped them in the little console in the middle. And we get there good, and we're going down the river. We're, like, three quarters of the way, and I all of a sudden get this feeling of dread. And I think, oh my gosh, the keys are in his car where we put in with the canoe, and it was starting to rain, and I was like, going to have to run back all the way to get the keys. And I was like, so scared to tell everyone. I was like, oh gosh. But it worked out. It worked out. I told them there was, like, other people that had been paddling, and there was some guy who came in the car, and he had come to bring somebody else to the road, and I just walked up to his car and put on my biggest smile and said, hi, do you want to drive this road again? And he goes, take me up and grab the keys to the car. He's like, yeah, sure, why not? I've already done it three times. And then I was like, boy, I'm so sorry. It feels so bad. But it worked out. So he drove us up and we got the keys, but I was a little embarrassed. I was like, oh, I've never done this before. This is not good. So, yeah.
Awesome. Good story. Thank you.
I'm prepared to become a runner in Saturday.
Great. You guys have some excellent stories. Over to you, Nathan, and then I heard of you, so I'm not sure if somebody else joined the call or not.
Hi, my name is Nathan Wilson. I'm the rec leader in Fort Liard. And that story where I wasn't prepared or not so much botched an event, but kind of slipped up on something was just this past summer we had a multi-sports camp for the youth. And due to some different issues, the community being short on water truck drivers, I believe it had to do with budget within the hamlet. But we weren't able to open our community pool. So during the multi-sports camp, we decided that we would go out to a place where the, you know, community members usually go to go swimming or sunbathing, I guess. There's a sandbar kind of that meets up in the two rivers here in Fort Liard. The water was pretty high like the week before, but with all the sun and pretty much no rain at all, I just sort of like assumed that it would be lower, and from the angle that I go like walking around, it did look lower. But then by the time we went out there for the swimming and, you know, going out to the sandbar with the youth, the water was like pretty high, and usually there's like a sand, like a strip of sand that you like walk over by, but with the water rushing so fast, it was all just like, you know, big lumpy stones, like, you know, that kids couldn't really keep their footing on. And on top of that, the water was like super cold, so instead of going all the way to the sandbar, we ended up just having kind of like a mud slipping slide, like just into the river, like on the bank. So they all had their life jackets and stuff ready, and we planned on swimming all the way to the other side, or if not swimming, just walking and then swimming like within that area, because usually it's like, you know, nice and warm, and it's not as cold. The water gets like sort of warm, you know, because the sun's out. But just so happened that day that you know, the water was like super cold, and instead of going out to the sandbar, we ended up after like an hour and a half or so of being in and around the water, like with kids covered in mud, like head to toe, and then their parents come and pick them up, but they had a lot of fun. The coordinators that came in from Fort Simpson like had a lot of fun with it as well too. you know, the kids, like, throwing mud at them and that sort of stuff. So,
so it's an example of how you can plan something, especially an outdoor thing. And, you know, maybe the day before things look all right, and then the environment, that would be a good example of adding in your checklist, you know, going back and checking that environment just before you do something. You know, has anything changed in, especially outdoor events? So, great example, and I'm so glad that you ended up having fun with it. Thanks. And did somebody else join the call who I haven't invited to introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Trina from Pengertown. Sorry, hi, I was late.
That's totally okay. We've just done a round of introductions. And what I've asked everyone to do is just introduce themselves, like who you are, where you're from, and we're just sharing a story of a time when maybe we forgot to plan for something. But you don't have to do that because that's sort of putting you on the spot. But if you could just introduce yourself and say, well, you said your name, but anyways, where you are and what your role in recreation is, that would be great.
Okay, I'm Trina Yank. I just started this position, recreation coordinator in Hamlet of Pengertown. I just started in November, so I'm still trying to, I'm still on training right now as of today. Because I've been away for lockdown and went to training in Clyde River for 2 weeks, so I've been kind of away here and there, but I'm here right now.
Well, we're really glad you could join us, Trina, and just so you have an idea, I'm not sure where you jumped in on the call, but we have Lindsay, who's with the City of Whitehorse. We have Megan. I don't know if you know Megan Hashi. She's with the Government of Nunavut Sport and Rec Division, and she's in Baker Lake. And then we have Nadine, Dana, and Kelly, and they're with Quanlin Dunn First Nation Recreation. And then Nathan is with Fort Liard and NWT. So we've got people all the way from Whitehorse all the way to where you are. They really are east. So welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do now then, after our introduction, I go through a little bit of the content and then we'll do another round. I've got a couple more questions for everybody. So last week in our learning event, what we did is we explored the first three of six steps in program or event design. And I'd really like to thank everyone. You did a great job providing input into the checklist for organizing programs or events. And you can probably add a few things like don't forget the cutlery, remember your keys, check the outdoor environment, a few more things to that checklist as well. The checklist is posted as a PDF in Activity 2, but I also sent it out as a Word document because what I thought you might want to do is say that, and then you can pull it apart and just take out the pieces that are important for you when you're planning or designing an activity, an event, or a program. So it might be helpful to use as a reminder for yourself for your own planning and designing. If you need me to resend that, just let me know. But it's there for you to use. So this week we look at the last three steps of the six steps in designing and delivering a program or event. And if you remember, we used the acronym, we used PRO and then GR together, and then AM for program. So the three that we're going to talk about this week are get ready, so the G and the R, action, and the monitor. And this actually helps you move from finalizing your plans and finalizing the design for your program or activity or event, and then putting it into action and checking back in and seeing how it worked. So if you happen to be on a computer and you have the presentation slides open, that's great. If not, don't worry about it. I'm going to start with slide number 19. And on slide 19, GR, or the get ready step, it helps you make the progression or helps you move from the outline that we sort of did last week and the draft checklist into how the program or event actually gets delivered, like what happens before, during, and after, and what does it look like? So that things like Megan mentioned PowerPoint, so you know you've got maybe 2 hours before setting up your PowerPoint presentation, Luckily, you guys set it up an hour before and realized that you needed to do it. So those sorts, these types of work plans and activity plans help you make sure you've got everything in place. It, sometimes the get-ready step seems like a lot of extra work, but really, as you can tell from the examples you shared this morning on the call earlier, when you put the time into this work, it helps the things run more smoothly. And then it helps your program or event or activity be more successful. When it's more successful, people enjoy themselves more. So as you can see on slide 19, you do two things in Get Ready, a work plan and an activity or lesson plan. And sometimes you might not need both, but we introduce both just so that you, it depends on how big or small what you're planning or designing is. So if you take a look at slide 20, slide 20 shows you how to create a work plan. And so a work plan, you're going to take the checklist that you did last week in part A, and you create a work plan. So you make it a little bit more detailed. So instead of, I'll use Lindsay's example with the tent, instead of pack the tent, you would list pack the tent, pack the poles. So you might break it apart a little bit more. You might have snacks, healthy snacks as part of your plan. So, you know, some of the things you might need to do would be to go shopping for the things, prepare the snacks, put out perishable things just before. So you, if you break it down, then you'll make sure that everything gets looked after. Slide, if you move on through, there's an example of slide 21, the work plan, and you have a template that you get to work on this week for your the project or event or the program or event that you're designing. And then slide 22 introduces activity plans. And some of you who may be coach or involved in sport might know these as lesson plans, or if you've worked in a school or anything like that. So you can call this an activity or a lesson plan. It doesn't really matter. But what this plan does is it shows the progress in a session from the beginning to the end. So if you have a 1 hour or a 1.5 hour after school program, it shows what happens at the beginning, the next 10 minutes, the next 10 minutes. So even the conference call that I do here, I have like an activity plan that I say, at this time I'd like to do this and this time I'd like to do that. You could also list things like who's going to be looking after things and what equipment or space is needed. Sometimes that's more important than other times. So what I'm just wondering right now is I'd like to go around our circle again, and maybe just so we don't put Trina on the spot and she gets to hear what everybody has to say, let's start with Lindsay again. So I know Lindsay doesn't mind being put on the spot. And I just want you to take about 30 seconds to tell us about the program or activity or event that you're designing. You might have introduced it last week, and if you didn't, then you can just tell us about it. If you don't have one in mind, that's totally okay, too. You can, on our conference call, Trina, I tell people it's okay to pass if you prefer to listen, because listening is just as important for learning as speaking. So this is totally about if you're comfortable sharing or not. So in about 30 seconds or less, let's see if I can pop that in there. Tell us about the program or event or activity that you're designing, and how useful do you think a work plan and or an activity plan will be for you? So over to you, Lindsay, in about 30 seconds.
Okay, so I am going to run a three-part series, a Family See It, Try It, to engage families in a two-hour facilitated session to experience different sport categories that focuses on physical literacy, kind of with the premise of families that are motivated to be active and play together have a more healthier life. I'm doing this in partnership with YG's physical literacy coordinator, Donna Tate. We're hoping COVID will go away so we can start on March 13th. And it's spaces for six families, making up anywhere between a parent and a kid to a parent and a kid. So yeah, we just need to make sure COVID goes away. Why is it important to have a plan? An activity plan?
Yeah, a work plan or a lesson plan, either or.
I think specifically in my case, because I'm working with another person to deliver this project, making sure that we're on the same page. So sharing this document back and forth, making sure that she knows what she needs to do and I know what I need to do. I'll be doing the more setup in the background and the coordinations of logistics while she's going to be the implementator of the actual 2 hours facilitation, and I'll have staff to help set up and take down. So for us, it's important just so we know exactly what we need, who's going to be doing what, and it's really clear as roles and responsibilities.
That's awesome. So in other words, you might be responsible for the work plan, get her feedback on it, but she might look after her activity or lesson plan so she knows how the session flows.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can give a general idea of, like, this is when you're going to do X for X amount of time, but so you're going to need a break, snack and water and a bathroom break, and then you'll go again. But in the medium time frames of X or whatever, I'm actually not sure what's going on, but she has that plan and knows what's going to happen.
Great. And so the advantage of both of you having planned this out together is that if something happens in somebody's life, the other person can probably pick it up if it's written down, right?
Exactly.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Lindsay. Okay, let's go over to Kwanlin Dunn Recreation. Would you guys, the three of you, perhaps like to share one of the ones out of the three that you have and tell us about a program or activity or event that you're designing and to what extent a work plan and or an activity plan might be useful?
Yeah, so currently, this is Nadine, currently working on a garden club. So this is a long-term program from spring to fall. And so I think that, like, having a strong activity plan will be super important, because typically we do work at least two staff so that, you know, there's at least two people on the same page. But we're also planning on bringing in a partner from STEM to do more of the science stuff of gardening. So the idea of the program is to have a progression, because we're growing stuff. So there's a lot of change going on throughout the programs as the vegetables and things are growing. So having an activity plan will be really important in case somebody can't make it, for sure, especially in regards to, like, what equipment, what, you know, what are we talking about, what's expected, but, like, having the work plan kind of done minute by minute, I think we have found is pretty unrealistic, because sometimes the kids don't even have the capacity to stand there and water for 5 minutes. So having some flexibility into what's going to happen and meeting the youth where they're at is really important. So, you know, we try and fit in, you know, what we think or what we've planned, but, you know, in all reality, sometimes, you know, after a day of school and everything going on, you know, they don't have the capacity for super structured activities afterwards, which is totally fine. You know, if we can just get out to the garden, you know, do a little bit of watering, talk about some talking points, maybe if we have some cool gadgets to show, that's really helpful, but just being able to be flexible, we found, is what makes a program more successful.
That's a really great point. Like, and the same applies to when you guys this week are working on your work plans and activity plans. You don't have to make it to the minute or anything like that. You just generally have to show the flow. But as we talked about last week, it's always good to have a backup plan. And so, for example, in my plan for our conference call, I usually plan 10 or 15 minutes for introductions, and we took closer to 20 to 25 today. So, then I can be flexible and adjust other areas. So, you know, and it's helpful for people who might be stepping in to help to see what your normal progression is, but also recognize that you might, like you said, need flexibility. And I think we've all learned a lot about needing to be flexible in the last couple of years. And if you work with children and youth, that's really important too. Thanks for sharing that. I'm going to move over to Nathan then in Portly Art. Nathan, do you have a program or an activity or an event that you're designing?
We're right now just looking to open up the school gymnasium again for like after school sports and stuff, as there is a prohibition on some like sports and activities, and looking at like the Hamlet and some of the other Hamlet leaders have been a bit weary to open up for indoor activities, even outdoor activities here. I've been told that we're not supposed to facilitate outdoor activities for the youth. And one of the things that that we're supposed to emphasize is all the COVID stuff. And I believe I would need two staff for the after school sports. And one of the things that I have to plan for as well is that the school they don't have after school activities, and from what I've heard is some of the teachers would be willing to help out and volunteer, and so then one of the things that I'd have to plan for is having hours in which I could have one staff member on and say a volunteer teacher or myself to sort of ease on the budget. So that's like one thing that I could see where a plan would be like, you know, really useful, just coordinating with, you know, when the volunteer is going to be on and when I'm going to need two staff or when I'm going to need to, like, you know, help out and stuff.
Yeah, so in your work plan, then kind of reaching out to different people and getting that scheduling in place is going to be really important. And then your activity plans probably will need to show the different activities that you, because, you know, you're not going to do basketball, for example, every single day after school. So your activity plan would maybe explain what activity for which day and who's running it and what equipment you need and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay, well, I look forward to seeing that as well. It can be complicated when, you know, you've got the challenges of needing more staff, but following COVID rules and all those sorts of things. So, that's when a plan can be really helpful. Trina, how about yourself? I know you're really new in your role. Is there an activity or a program or an event that you're planning or designing right now to deliver later on?
Not really, but the arena's gonna open soon, sometime next month. But there's few departments they're under me, like under my department. So I've been concentrating them for a while since I've been here.
So just trying to figure out
what the difference is. We just got out of lockdown like 2 days ago or last week, so it's been kind of relaxed.
Yeah, so when you get into your job, will you be responsible for things like after-school programming like Nathan, or a lot more of the bigger stuff like making sure the arena runs and everything?
Yeah, I'm on that position.
Okay.
Maintaining arena, the janitor, the radio station.
So lots of things under.
Community learning centers, library. So they're all under my department. I just recently started, so I'm still trying to get through this with my supervisors.
That's great. Well, thanks for explaining a little bit more about what you do. I appreciate it. It's good to understand because everybody has different roles that they do, and sometimes it's nice to hear how some people tackle it, and it gives us each of us different ideas. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thanks, everybody. So some of you are designing your own programs and delivering them. Some of you are require other people to do it for you. And so when other people are doing things for you, whether it's an activity or an event or opening an arena, if you're supervising them, it's helpful to ask or a work plan or activity plan so that you can see how they're going to do it. So let's use an example of, you know, we talked about Lindsay working with Jana, and Lindsay will have the work plan and Jana will have the activity plan. Trina, in your case, you might have, if the arena's under you, you might need them to develop a work plan to show you how they're going, all the things that need to be done in order to have it open on a certain date, and then you can work backwards to make sure that that checklist is done. Activity plans or lesson plans are also really important for risk management. If you're running your own activities, like Nathan, your after-school program, especially if it's a sport-related one, you want to make sure that you keep those plans because it shows that you're offering activities that are suitable to your participants. So, Nadine, you mentioned the progression in gardening, right? The same thing if you're teaching somebody a sport or something like that. There's a progression to it. You know, you don't want to put them into it where it's too challenging or too difficult. And that is, especially for active sports like physical activity, that's important from a risk management perspective. I think another tip that we brought up, but just to remind you of this, put enough detail into your work plans and activity plans, because if something happens, if you have a family emergency and someone else has to take over for you, then they can look at your plan and know what you've got planned. So once you have those ready, then you're ready for action, which is on slide 24. So I think all of you kind of know action is carrying out your activity plan, making sure your work plan, you had everything covered off on. And as all of you have mentioned, there is a need to be flexible. In community recreation, there's always something happening that sort of surprises us or changes what we had planned. So just have fun and be flexible when you're putting it into action. And then the last slide, number 25, reminds us that we want to track what works well and what we might need to change next time. So you might want to find out how many people participated. Nathan, especially for you with COVID, you might want to track the number of participants. Lindsay, you might want to track the number of children in families that are coming to your activities. You might want to track progress. So for gardening, you might want to, you know, sort of keep a log of how quickly or slowly things grow and then, you know, what the weather was like or something like that, so you know how to adjust your program for the next year. So let's just do one more quick round, and I have one last question for all of you. So you can answer one of the two questions. They're on slide 26. So I just want you to sort of reflect on either how using these six steps to design and deliver a program, activity, or event might make that safer, more enjoyable, and more interesting, or share with me which step is most important, you think which step is most important to you. So I'm just going to stick with our order and start with Lindsay again, if that's okay with everybody. I'll make sure I do a different order next call. So here's the two questions, and you can choose which one, and just maybe about 15-second response, just because I'm watching the time, 15 to 20 seconds here. So Lindsay, how do the six steps that are presented under the acronym program help make a program, activity, or event safer, more enjoyable, and more interesting? Or what steps are most important for you and why?
I think for me, the most important step is your pre-planning. Looking at your whole scope of your project and your event and putting the time into planning it out from the very beginning all the way to your end. I think if you front load a lot of your stuff at the very beginning, you'll be more successful and you'll always have this guiding document that you'll always be able to use, and then it's easy to roll it over for future years as well.
Yeah, that's a good point about rolling it over. So once you've put a lot of work into planning something, if you do a similar activity or event or program later on, you can just modify it slightly, change the date, maybe change the names, those sorts of things. So sometimes especially when I'm teaching, I'll use like a plan, and I will write notes about what worked and what didn't work, and then the next time I make those changes. So thanks for pointing that out, Lindsay. Megan, do you have any thoughts on either how the six steps can make something safer, more enjoyable, and more interesting, or which sort of part of these steps is most important for you?
I think the planning is one of the most important parts. And I've talked about it before, is ensuring accessibility is really important. Like I said, we have a lot of our northern communities have a lot of elders and or people who can't necessarily access things that other people can. And so I really think accessibility and transparency is really important. 'Cause even though we do have a lot of people with disabilities or elders or other people who have special needs, we don't necessarily always have the right resources and help for them. So that's just something that comes to mind for me.
That's great, and that brings us back to the checklist that we worked on last week, because I think you're reinforcing some of the conversation we had last week about how making sure that what we're doing is accessible and inclusive. And I think to add to what you're saying, the planning phase is so important, and often when we want to plan for accessibility, we need more time. So the facility you might sometimes use might not be accessible enough. So maybe you have to build a ramp or do something different, right, or find a different place. So, just keep in mind to allow yourself enough time, I think, as well. And then it's probably easier to plan, make things accessible and inclusive. Does that make sense, Megan? Do you think that you need a bit more time for that?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That's a really important part of what we do in recreation. I really appreciate that. Nadine, Dana, and Kelly, and I'll let you guys jump in wherever you want to, whoever wants to answer first. Maybe each of you have a couple of thoughts. Either how do these six steps help to make your programs, activities, or events safer, more enjoyable, or more interesting, or which part is most important for you and why?
So I can just kind of speak for all of us here. I think something that we find we have to keep circling back to and really being intentional about focusing on is purpose. Because there are so many ideas, and so every time we do like a planning session for what's next, then there are so many options, and we find it really helpful to just remember, like, what is our purpose for serving someone done youth through recreation, and which activities kind of help us focus on that purpose the most and kind of, like, prioritize those activities as opposed to some other ones that might be really fun but maybe don't serve the same purpose of, like, engaging all the youth and I guess that's
a really good reminder. And we talked about purpose last week, and it's like you said, in recreation it's really easy to get excited and come up with cool ideas and do different things, but it's also really easy as recreation leaders, staff, volunteers to get overwhelmed because you have such great ideas and you want to do all of it. But I think, your suggestion of making sure we always check back on what the purpose is, so that what is being planned, what's being designed, what's being delivered connects to that purpose, it helps make work a bit more manageable, and it helps increase, I guess, the impacts of what it is that you're doing. Thanks for sharing that. That's great. That's a really good point. Nathan, how about for yourself? Do you find that these steps might help you with your program activity or event design, or which one is most important to you and why?
Sorry, I'm just trying to find where the six steps are. I'm on the slide. I saw that it was from page 5 to 18.
Yeah, so if you scroll to slide number 9. So,
number 9.
Yeah, so I'll just go through them again.
Oh, okay. All right.
So P is purpose, R is results, O is outline, and then G and R together are get ready, and A is action, and M is monitor. So we just use the word program to define the six steps.
Okay. So I would say the most important step would probably be prepare a work plan, and specifically with that is just letting any other staff or anybody and any other volunteer involved, like in the program, just giving them like a really clear outline of what's going to be happening, when, and how we're going to do it, and just making sure that they have like a really good understanding of what's happening, so that way they feel more confident during the event. So that way, like, you know, they don't have any issues, or they don't get overwhelmed in any situation during the event.
Yeah, that's a really good point there too, because then it helps with the other people that you're working with, right? And it helps you track as you go through and make sure that everybody's clear on who's doing what, and that you have things like your frozen food is cooler and things like that. So that's great. Thanks so much, Nathan. Serena, I know this is fairly new to you. Do you have any thoughts about it, or do you want to just pass and listen? So, you know, how you think you can use six steps for figuring out what you're doing in recreation?
I'll just pass for now.
Yeah, maybe if you have a few minutes at the end of the call, I can just catch you up on last week. We could just hold on at the end of the call in case you have any questions or anything like that.
Sure.
Yeah, just for a couple of minutes at the end of the call. So I'm just going to wrap up shortly here anyway. So I'd like to really thank you guys for jumping in. If you didn't have a chance to do the first part, this activity that was due on Sunday, what you can do is I will send out the whole template, and you can do both of them together, because the required activity for this learning event, I broke it into two parts to make it a bit more manageable. And if you still need to do the first part, just do all of them together for this Sunday. So it's a four-page template, and it takes you through your idea that you shared today. And if you're not sure of an idea, just you can come up with something like, you can even do something you might do personally, like planning a birthday party or something like that. It doesn't have to be complicated. There's also an example of a Kids in the Kitchen program from Angela and Anuvik that you can take a look at that as well if you needed help with this. And a number of people have posted in the first week, so you can see how they've sort of laid theirs out or designed it as well. So to wrap up this learning event then, what you'll need to do is to submit or share your design, both Part A and Part B. That'll be by Sunday. And then I just would like to remind you that there's a feedback. It's activity number 6 in the learning event. So once you've finished everything, if you could go and do the feedback. There are, at the bottom of the learning event, for those of you who can see it in the online version, I've added a few resources. So if you're doing games or after-school program or working with children and youth, you might want to look at the resources under Explore More. Alberta Active After School has some great ideas of things linked to something called Playworks, and it's all different games we're doing with children and youth. Nathan, you might find some neat ideas for your after-school program, and Nadine, Dana, and Kelly, you guys might have some to fill in those spaces where, you know, things just aren't going according to plan. There's also a link to Indigenous Games for Children, which comes from High Five, and there's also Nunavut's Play Handbook and Workbook that Recreation Parks Association of Nunavut has put out. So it should give you some other resources that can help you be creative and come up with ideas when sometimes you're feeling like it might be hard to come up with new ideas because of all the COVID restrictions that have been in place. So thank you so much for taking the time to join the call today. I will stay on the line after I end the conference call recording. So if you have any questions or if you want to chat about what is expected for the over the next few days. Just hang on after I've ended the conference call recording. And if not, there's a week break next week, so there is no conference call next week. But then we start with EF 101, which is basic recreation finances, at the end of January. And for that one, you might want to use the programmer event design that you're designing here, because you're actually going to create a budget. Just keep that in mind when you're designing it. So thanks so much. Have a wonderful afternoon, wherever you happen to be. And for those of you who warmed up to minus 30, enjoy minus 30. So thank you. I'll just end the conference call recording. And Trina, if you want to stay on for a moment, that would be great. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Thank you.